John the Baptizer is standing on the riverbank of the Jordan River, and he says these words to us. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Oh, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today in the life of the church is Baptism Sunday, the day that we remember the baptism of Jesus. Now, our gospel writer draws our attention to this thing, water. And we know all about water, how it comes to us in different forms, like the refreshing drink on a hot summer day, or the snow that we've fortunately not had to shovel much of this year, or maybe a stream, the steam that rises off of when you're heating water. But there's different forms of water. Yet water is still water, and its form might change, but its function remains the same. Now, keep that in mind, form and function. Now, last Sunday, our church calendar reminded us of the coming of the wise men. Today, we jump ahead about 30 years in Jesus' life to a riverbank, to the baptism of the Lord, the remembrance of that moment in earthly history when our Lord Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Now, Jesus didn't have to be baptized, okay? Get that. Jesus did not have to be baptized, at least not by human standards. Remember, Jesus was perfect in every way, and so there were no sins to wash away. But you see, in Matthew's gospel, he tells us that Jesus' baptism is not an act to wash away sin, but to fulfill all righteousness. And so what's that mean? To fulfill all righteousness. William Willimon suggested that this was an act of human obedience that carries out a divine demand. He said Jesus is, in submitting to John's baptism, is showing to all the world the movement required for us in the good news, a downward submission to the will of God. So whenever the divine voice says that this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased, all the voice is talking about God's pleasure with Jesus' complete obedience. Or maybe to put it another way, it's Jesus coming on down here to where we are and God saying, that is good. That is good. And you know, baptism is good. It is good. It is a joyous event. It's joyous for the one who is being baptized. It's joyous for us as a church that celebrates with them, and for the kingdom of God as all heaven rejoices. Yet, when people start talking about baptism, especially in Christian circles, you're just bound to have trouble. You know, some folks, they get all hung up on how old a person should be, or maybe how young, or how much water should be used, or how much of the body ought to get wet. people get all frustrated and hung up on the form of baptism when the function of baptism is what it's really about, is what's really important. You see, Jesus was always trying to help his disciples understand the difference between form and function. In many of his teachings, he talks to them about the function of things and not the forms of things. You see, the Jews, they were all about the Pharisees were all about the function of, I've got to do things exactly right, I've got to dot my I's and cross my T's and only do certain things, and they were missing the whole part of function. And people still do that today. And I think the best lesson that Jesus gave on this subject was when he had a child come and stand before them, and Jesus said, if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, if you want to know truth, if you want to truly inherit the kingdom of God, then you need to become like a little child. Not childish. Okay, not childish, not having to have your own way and always getting what you want and arguing about what's right and wrong about the forms, but accepting and trusting even when we don't have all the answers, or maybe even when we think we do have all the answers. In other words, we just can't get all hung up on the form. Because what's really important is the function. And what's the function of baptism? What's the function of baptism? Is the function the size of the bowl that we use? Or the pool that we use? Or the amount of water? Is that the function of baptism? Does the function speak to the age of the one that is to be baptized? So what's the function? What's the function of baptism? What words would we use to describe this holy sacrament? Well, I think probably one of the first words that would come to mind would be repentance, wouldn't it? Repentance of sin. Our desire to turn away from wrongdoing, from wrong living, and to seek God's way, I think that would be probably one of the first words we would use. So baptism then becomes that outward sign of the inward cleansing that has taken place in us. But yet it's more than that, is it not? I mean, it was certainly more than that for Jesus. It's more than that. So we too must use other words to describe function of baptism, because this really has nothing to do with the amount of water or who it's placed upon. And those other words we find throughout Scripture. Words like obedience. Yeah. Words like righteousness, revelation, the incorporation of what it is to be God's people. In the Old Testament, what was the sign of incorporation? It was only for the males. Yeah, circumcision. That sign of incorporation. But you see, baptism opens that up to all. Baptism is far more than a sign of repentance from our sin. When Jesus, the sinless one, waded into the waters of the Jordan, it was not for repentance. It was for obedience. It was to self-identify with us in a very real, in a very basic way, identifying with humanity. And think just for a moment what that really meant. For Jesus to wade into the Jordan to be baptized. Now, we would do that, but think what that meant for Jesus. I mean, Jesus is this sinless one, the spiritually clean, the spotless Lamb of God. He wades into the water to be baptized by John. Jesus surrounded himself, in other words, with the water of sinners, that's meant for sinners. Jesus allowed this dirty, disgusting, impure water to cover him. for you, for all. Dirty, impure water. Kind of reminds me whenever I was a little boy. Mama was always trying to conserve water. I don't know if it was the heat or what, but for some reason, since I was the youngest, I always had to follow my brother. Hand-me-downs, and anybody else have to struggle with those kinds of things? Yeah. Now, I tell you, the clothes thing was bad enough, but I had to just draw the line at the bath water thing, all right? Any of you have to take a bath in someone else's bath water? Yeah, that's gross. That is wrong. I got really good at kicking that stopper out as I got in, you know, and oops, sorry about that, Mom, but we're going to have to put new water in there kind of thing, or making up stories like Mom, Steve's peeing in the bathwater again. And, you know, of course, Dad, he'd come back in there and he'd give, you know, Steve a good licking, and I couldn't use that very, that excuse very often, only a couple times a week. But but think about this. Jesus, the sinless one, the spiritually clean, the spotless one, wades into the water to be baptized by John. Jesus surrounded him in the water of sinners. Think about that. Jesus allowed the dirty, disgusting, impure water of sinners for you. Jesus chose to be baptized with sinners in the same water as they, for it is sinners, you see, people, that he came to save. And don't think it's just a coincidence that he begins his ministry being baptized with sinners and then ends his life on a cross between two sinners. Yeah. Jesus' baptism is a labor of love. It is an act of obedience. It's a sign of who he is and why he has come. You see, Jesus is already at the beginning identifying with you and with me and all the people of his day. He is a Messiah to sinners, not a military warrior that everyone hoped and longed for in the Messiah, but he was a suffering servant, not one who sought to cause suffering, even on the enemies of his people. When he came up out of that water, the Spirit descended upon him, empowering him for the work ahead. And the voice of God from heaven says that, "You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased." Oh, yes, God was saying, "You have understood who you have been called to be and what I have called you to do, and I could not be more pleased." What a high and a holy moment this had to be, to be affirmed and to be confirmed by the Spirit and the voice of God. No doubt this was a time that Jesus often looked back for encouragement and assurance. And here's the best part. He calls us too, and he tells us that he's pleased with us. He is pleased with you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You know, most of us Methodists, if you grew up in a Methodist church, were baptized as babies. We don't remember the sprinkling of the water and the words that were promised. But our parents were faithful to see that we are marked as Christian disciples at our baptism. And that mark meant something. Man, it meant that God was calling us by name. You see, this is what baptism's really about. It means that you too are God's child, that God loves you, that you are a part of God's own family. And it might appear more like, you know, like mere water on the surface, but this is the sacrament. This is God's holy water. It is the water of God's great love and grace and Jesus poured out for you and poured out for all people that all might know that they are children of God. And you know, this is a message that we need to hear. It truly is. And that's one of the reasons I think that we celebrate the baptism of the Lord every year on this Sunday after Epiphany. It's a message we always need to be reminded of, for so many voices out there are even voices inside us tell us who we are and who we are not. Oh, listen, Jesus came to help truly tune our ears to another voice, a heavenly voice, a voice that speaks out to you and to me that you are my beloved. You're my beloved children, and I am pleased with you. This is who you are, and let no one ever tell you different. This is why God came and wrapped himself in flesh. Baptism is far more than a sign of repentance for our sin. It is the incorporation into a family by which we become the children of God, and we are claimed and we are sealed in Christ. And this is when our ministry then begins, as we walk hand in hand with Jesus and as we walk hand in hand with one another. That's why you can't do church by yourself. That's why we need one another, so that we can walk hand in hand and encourage and walk with one another and enable one another to truly be about the things that Jesus calls us to do, not just as an individual, but collectively as a body. And that's why we need the church. Oh, here in our text, we see the baptism of Jesus as an act by which Jesus takes upon himself our burdens, and an act in which he shows how complete his identification is with us. And we see an event by which he demonstrates what the saving love of God is like by taking on the burdens that he's got to bear. Oh, the baptism of Jesus is an act in which he begins his ministry, just as ours should be. The event in which commences his process of proclaiming the good news of salvation, the start of a career which ends in our redemption because of his love for you. Jesus began his ministry among us by identifying as us, by doing as you and I are commanded to do, by taking upon himself the sign of repentance and righteousness that we too are called to take upon ourselves. And when he did so, oh, he received power. He received the power of healing and the power of saving, the power of God's Holy Spirit, which descended upon him like a dove. And he goes forth from that point to heal and to teach and to forgive and to empower, until at the end he does as he does in the beginning, as he did throughout all of his ministry. He takes upon himself the identity of every person, the burden of all, every person even here. And he offers himself up to God in their place. Oh, folks, our ministry, our power, our ability to heal and to be healed begins in the same place as it did as Jesus. When we identify with Jesus, when we believe in him and see ourselves as his and he as ours, when we move past that stage of the disciples in Ephesus who were only baptized with John's baptism of repentance, and we understand baptism as far more than repentance, and we reach out instead into that baptism into Jesus, we receive that same power that Jesus had, the same abilities. I want to tell you, there is power in the sacrament of holy baptism. There is power in doing as Jesus did. There is power in believing in him, and that power is the power of God's Spirit and the power of God's Word. All through baptism, we are made a part of Jesus, and he is made a part of us. His life, His death, His resurrection becomes ours, and by it we are made able to be a healing part of the lives of others. Oh, the baptism of the Lord, His identification with us as lost and lonely sinners, began His ministry, a ministry in which He took upon Himself our yoke and our burden and returned to us God's love and His concern. Our baptism into Him, our acceptance of His healing love, and our desire to be as He was begins our ministry. A ministry which we are called to do as He did, to identify with those who are lost and to those who cry out for wholeness and proclaim then and only then the word that Jesus has given. And hear this, church. This year that we begin together can be truly full of the power of God. Do you believe that? I do. I do. Our new year together can be full of the power of God if we believe in and if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and our brother, and if we heed the cry of those around us, if we sit up and we take notice of those signals that God sends us, and we learn the lessons that they teach. In other words, as we walk, just as Jesus walked, as He's revealed to us, with one another as friends, as helpers, as ones able and willing to share the love of Jesus who's in us. Christ came, you see, for this purpose. And you and I are called to carry it out as God's people. We are people of the new creation who in baptism have died to the old way of life and who have been raised to a new way of life as God's children. We've been claimed. We have been sealed in His love. And in those baptismal waters, truly this is where our ministry begins. Just as it did for Jesus, it begins for us, His people. Let's pray together. Loving God, we are so grateful to be a part of Your family, to be a part who is yoked together by Your love, Jesus, and who reflects that image of Your baptism, a baptism of not just repentance, but of obedience and one of incorporation and renewal and strength in You. God, help us to continue to just claim our baptism each day as we walk hand in hand with You, as we seek to walk with You faithfully. And Lord, we love You and we just praise You for all Your good gifts. For it's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.